Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Fruit of the Spirit, love. The subject today is how to find true love. And today I want to let you in on five secrets of love. These are the basic biblical truths that can actually transform our lives. Now, it's a really big issue in everyone's life, that whole matter of love. Wanting to know love, wanting to experience love. Everybody needs love, and everybody really wants to receive a whole lot of it. Even people that say, you know what, I don't need other people. I don't need that love. I don't need that attention. You know, I'm just fine. I'm self-sufficient. They especially have been giving you clues that they really need a lot of love. But though everybody needs it, not everybody is willing to give love. Not willing to give love. So today, as we start this new series on the fruit of the Spirit, we want to see that it is the result of Jesus Christ living in an unfettered way inside of us, and then bringing out in us the characters of his own, the qualities of his own character. Just as, let's say, grapes are the result, the fruit of a healthy, well-tended vine. So these things like love, joy, peace, patience, etc., come as a result of a well-tended vine, that is, Jesus Christ, that we pay attention to him, that we are living in him. It comes as a result, the fruit comes as a result of a robust Christian life. Christ living in us, giving to us and working in us those qualities that the Holy Spirit alone is able to give. So, what is the fruit of the Spirit? You heard it. We're going to hear it again. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is, can you say it with me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, these are nine features, and by sheer coincidence, we're going to have nine messages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and these behavioral features that are produced in our hearts. But now, I want to just kind of take a little aside and distinguish between what are called gifts of the Holy Spirit and fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, things such as, like, teaching and knowledge and wisdom and healing, etc., evangelism, these are particular giftings where God bestows certain, they kind of have a supernatural edge to them into the lives so that of people, of Christian people, to build up the body of Christ that demonstrate for us are the power tools of the ministry of Jesus. That's for the ministry of Jesus. Now we're going to contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit, which would be the character qualities of Jesus. And they are personality traits, shall we say, that are produced into the lives of all Christians. Now, not every Christian has every gift of the Holy Spirit. But did you know that when you became a Christian, when you were born again, when Christ came into your life, he brought that whole fruit basket so that you have every one, you actually possess every one of those qualities. And the fruit then that is made visible within our lives as the Holy Spirit expresses the life of Jesus through us, shows the world what Jesus is all about and who he is. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are kind of power tools for the ministry of Jesus to be done through the body of Christ. The fruit of the Holy Spirit would be the character qualities of Jesus that are to be displayed in our lives. Now, the biological goal of every living organism is to replicate itself, to reproduce its own kind. Now, every in the world of plant life, Each one has, there's a fruit that comes as a result of its health and its strength. And that fruit contains the seed. The seed then gives life to new life. So the whole idea here with that fruit is it is used in replicating spiritual life in the lives of other people. That the fruit that is shown in your life then is brought to other people. And as a result of that, they are exposed to the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, what are the secrets of this whole thing? I'm going to give you five secrets. And the first secret is this, is that these qualities, these nine qualities, are already yours. They belong to you as a child of God, the moment that you came into faith. The entire fruit basket, it's yours. And so, your eyes and your experience and all that may say, that's not true. I mean, like, I don't love like Jesus. I don't have patience. I am not, one who has self-control. Now, if you are a Christian and you're saying that, you've believed a lie, because that didn't come from the Heavenly Father. That came from the Father of lies. Because, you see, because we're still sinners, yet we don't necessarily want to have those qualities in our lives, okay? Say, oh, I wish I had more patience. You know what? You have all the patience of Jesus. It's just you may, you know, because we're all kind of stubborn. We kind of want our own way, and we want it when we want it. That's the sin nature showing itself. But what we have in Jesus Christ, we have the patience of Jesus. I don't love like Jesus. Well, but you have all the love. That is the love of God in you through Jesus. And the thing today we're going to be learning is, how do you put that into motion? How do you put that into practice? How can you experience that reality? And it actually becomes a life-transforming reality. So it is already yours. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, now your notes say Galatians 4:13, all right? We throw that in once in a while just to make sure that you're on your toes. Okay, and what did Paul say? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So everything that is required of us, he enables through Christ. Now, obviously, when it says I can do all things, that doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want, whatever I feel. That's not what it means at all. But I am free to do as I ought. That is the biggest freedom that there is. Freedom to do as you want, that's a kind of a bondage. But freedom to do as you ought, wow, that's the freedom that Jesus gives us. Now, as Pastor Dreyer and I will be going through this series, there are three things that kind of our goal would be. The first is that you would know the truth that's connected to this fruit of the Spirit. Second is that you would access the power for that to be expressed and shown in your life. And then the third is to be able to put it into practice. And ultimately what it is, here's what it's all about. It is finding out who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are, what he has declared you to be, what he has already placed the power in you to be. So, second secret comes up, and that is that everything that God calls us to do, the Holy Spirit empowers. Everything that you're called to do, the Holy Spirit provides the power for you to do that. Now we go to Galatians, and in chapter 5, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, let's break that down a little bit. Live by the Spirit, that means you got your life. You did not create your spiritual life. That came as a gift from God. The Holy Spirit, working through his word and the sacraments, brought that life into you. And so that life is in you. But now that you have the life, what are you going to do with it? It says, keep in step with the Spirit. Where the Spirit goes, go. And as he leads, you follow. So keeping in step with the Spirit, this is, again, at the core of expressing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So the first one in that list, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. Let's talk about love a little bit, because it is the chief virtue. In fact, every other part, fruit of the Spirit, is some way, somehow connected to this matter of love. It is, after all, the greatest commandment. We find already from the time of Moses, love God, love others. Jesus repeated that. What's the greatest commandment? Love God and love others. So the question is, though, how am I going to find true love in my life? Everybody wants a lot of it, but not many people are willing to give it. So we come to secret number three. Your love, or true love, is not how much love you get, but how much love you give away. Now, if you catch that, it's a transformative concept, and it's more than a concept, a reality, a power reality within our lives. True love is not how much you get, but how much love you give away. Don't worry about how much love you're getting, but the important thing is to be giving it away. Now, the thing about that, it makes it a little difficult, is it means loving real people in real life, in real circumstances, and not everybody is going to be as nice as you are. And so that means sometimes you've got a challenge in love. So, a little story I heard once, and told more than once, but there was a man who's making a sidewalk in front of his house. Okay, first thing you do is you get the lumber, and then you smooth everything out as much as you possibly can. You get your level out. You put the lumber down so that you actually create then a frame into which there's going to be concrete poured. Now, the cement truck comes, pours in the concrete, you get your float, you get your rake, you get all those tools in your trowel, and then you make that ridge, so that when it's heaving, it breaks in the right spot. So you get that on. Man had done his work so meticulously, and the neighbor boy was very interested in what was going on, and so you can guess already what he did. He came and he walked all right through that wet concrete, that wet cement. So, obviously, the guy's really upset. The fact is, he does not have self-control now. And he grabs a rake and he starts running after the kid and hurling curses at him. His wife, hearing that commotion, she steps out the front door. She says, honey, stop, stop, stop. Don't hurt him. Don't you know you're supposed to love your neighbor? And he said, yes, I love him in the abstract, but I don't love him in the... good. Okay. So we... Actually, love is something that is in real life. Now, he kind of, gave in to that thing we call sin. And what is sin? Sin is probably, it's a distorted kind of a love. It is a selfishness. It is love turned inward toward self. As a matter of fact, all of us have at least some of that kind of narcissism, that love turned inward, what about pride? And even people who kind of carry around that negative self-loathing, that is actually the same coin as pride. It is that focus upon self, focus upon self. You see, sin is so deceitful. Sin tries to hide in every little shadow, tries to sneak up on us when we're not expecting it and not realizing it. Sin is the opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, what do we need? Well, we need, first of all, to have something that deals with that sin. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ in which we know him as Savior, the one who paid the price, that, seeing our sin upon that cross. How much did it cost for him to put all the sin upon the cross? We recognize that, and then we access forgiveness of our sins. And that begins to free us to love. Okay. We're getting ready now for the fourth secret, but before we do, I want you to play a little game with me, and you kind of have to humor me and go along. Would you do that? Okay, so give me an L. L. Give me an O. O. Give me a V. V. Give me an E. E. What does it spell? No, wrong. It spells Jesus. Jesus. He is love. So, secret number four is this, that love is a divine quality. Actually, authentic, genuine love is a divine quality. And it's important for us, again, to realize that. See, God's most significant attribute about him is love. It just simply says in 1 John 8, God is love. You know, yeah, God shows love, God demonstrates love, God acts in love. Why? Because God is love. Now, what does that have to do with me? Well, not only am I loved, but now as a loved one, he says, I'm going to put so much of that inside of you that you can love other people. And I'm going to turn us to 2 Peter in the first chapter, which tells us that we get to be partakers of that divine nature. Let's look at it. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, what do we become? We become partakers of the divine nature. I'll stop there. Partakers of the divine nature. Now, I know people do struggle with this whole matter of love. Everybody wants to get a little more of that. And they frequently feel very, very frustrated because they find sometimes a hostile and unaccepting, judgmental world. A lot of young people end up in great trouble. In fact, even the shooters, the young shooters, kind of tend to be in this category. They are the unloved, feeling deep, you know, that great big gap inside of them, unloved. And then not only that, they feel that they are unworthy of love. They're never going to experience love. They burst out in anger. They experience rejection, deep relationship anxiety, which is a part of our age. This digital age, this social media age, well, we got new words. There's a complex vocabulary that goes along with this in terms of love and relationship. Words like ghosting, haunting, slow fade, benching, catch and release, FBO, Facebook only kinds of relationships, agonies that go with dating, new definitions and sometimes non-definitions. Who knows what definitions of relationships? Now, the great psychologist Abraham Maslow developed that hierarchy of needs. At the most basic, he said there are needs for like air to breathe, water, food, and then with that, some shelter and some sense of security. That's basic. Without that, you're just not going to live. But right above that is love. Love. So basic. Everybody needs it. People are created with a spot, you know, it says, hey, fill it up, fill it up. Love. Love is needed in their children. Without love, without that tenderness, without that touch, without that care, it's impossible for them to flourish even physically. So where are you going to get the love? You're going to go to the advice columns? Well, only the boomers read the newspapers these days. So if you're not a boomer, where are you going to find it? How about, I talk to couples before they get married or maybe newly married. So, oh, well, hey, tell me how you met. Now, one out of four met online. Now, which means, though, that there are a whole lot of people that when they tried that, they got frustrated because nothing really happened. Another one out of four met at some singles bar somewhere, which is also a place with, there's a lot of drama and a lot of, messed up kinds of things going on there, and people tend to be, frustrated in relationships rather than develop something solid and permanent. And then one out of four, they were high school sweethearts or met in early years of college. Then you got the next bunch. One out of ten that I interviewed met church. And then some of them met at the mall. Some met at work. And, we can kind of go through some of the minor categories. And the truth of this whole thing is that 82.7% of these numbers I made up all myself. Okay. So where are you going to find love? Where are you going to get it? And the more that you pursue it and try to get it, the more frustrating it is because it doesn't seem to work out so well. So love, again, the most important thing to remember. It's not something you're going to, that you should figure you're going to get. Yeah, that's a nice byproduct, but first, it is something that you give. It is an outflow of something that you have to receive from God. And it is an unselfish quality. It's not because somebody deserves your love. Love is something that is even fairly difficult to pass on. We look for it to be really, really rewarding, and it's not always. In fact, sometimes in some relationships, giving love is not a very pleasant kind of a thing but love is something you're supposed to give away. A little bit frustrating, isn't it? So we got to go to the fifth secret. The fifth secret is this: you can't give away something you don't already have. You can't give it away if you haven't got it. So you got to get some if you're going to give some. And we're going to learn today about the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, or any of that, it isn't something that we produce. It isn't something that originates with us. It is not something that we personally can manufacture. We're not equipped for that. So we have to get it, and if you're going to get it, you got to go to the exclusive source, the one only source that there is if you're going to get some so that you can give some. So all fruit of the Spirit is produced by God. We got to go to that one source. You're not going to get it by, you know, online and order it from Amazon and expect the blue truck, you know, to the fulfillment prime truck to come and bring it. You're not going to get it by going to any store. You're not going to get it when you watch these TV infomercials. And, you know, if you order right now, you can get two of them. Plus, we'll throw in a little bit more. No, it doesn't work that way. You go to the only source, and that is God alone. He is the source of all that. The real thing only comes from Him. So you need love in your life. Step one, you go to God. And that's the only place you'll find it. Because God is love. So why does God love you? You ever ask the question? Is it because you're so cute? You know, God, why do you love me? Well, it's because you're so clever. Yeah. Well, it's because we're so rewarding to Him. Why does He love us? Well, no reason. He just does. He's just that way. And He can't help Himself, because that's in the very nature of His being. And after all, He's God. And if He chooses to love you, He loves you. It's not something we can say, oh, I've made myself acceptable to God. So how can I see that love? How can I know that love? If you want to know the love of God, there's a place that you look. And that's looking at the cross, looking at the cross, because that's where He paid the price. That's what the cost was for Him to love every one of us. And see, He loves us not only by, you know, providing our food and clothing and shelter. He loves us by providing a life that involves every blessed possible spiritual gift and quality. Wow. So we enter into that confession, repentance, acknowledging, you know what, I don't deserve it. I don't know why you love me, God, but you do, and I thank you for it. In fact, just you've got to accept that fact. Even if you feel unworthy, you know, what business does God have loving me? Forget that kind of talk. Just look at Him and look at what His character is. God is love. And so, as a born-again child of God, you accept forgiveness. Accept that adoption into His family. Accept the fact that you are love. You cannot, by being bad, make God love you less. You cannot, by being good, make God love you more, because God is love. Now, when you are in Christ Jesus, you know that. Accept forgiveness. Now, if you accept forgiveness, the next thing you accept is you accept yourself. Now, this is not a narcissistic self-love and a self-obsession, but if God loves you enough that in Jesus Christ he would atone for every one of your sins and declare you as righteous, what business do you have putting yourself down? Rejecting yourself. Understand who you are in Christ Jesus. And accepting that, then you accept the freedom to love. To love God, you're free to love Him. And then to love others, you're free to love them. Now, again, loving, yeah, sure, it's going to be costly. It's going to be risky. But love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love will bear the cross. And love takes risks. So behind all these things, these secrets, there's another secret because, you know, so where am I going to get enough love? Where am I going to get enough joy, enough peace so that I can, you know, spread it around? Hey, my bucket is empty. It's empty. I've used it all up. Well, that's your bucket. Look at God's bucket. Is God's bucket full? Mm-hmm. Does God's bucket ever get empty? You see, like I'm using a teaspoon and I'm taking little bits and pieces, but God's got this great big container and he dips into the ocean, so he's not going to use it up. And he can give. And so you take your bucket over to him and you say, Lord, my bucket's empty. May I have some from you? May I borrow some? And he says, no, you can't borrow any. I just give it to you. You just use it. But how much? There's an infinite supply. Just keep on and keep on and keep on. Yeah. So we are free in Christ to love others. There's an inexhaustible source. Okay. Look down now at your feet for a moment. And what's beneath your feet? Concrete, right? Okay. A little story about this concrete. Back in 2016, we had a groundbreaking here, and then they came again with that lumber, and they made some forms all along the outside of this. And then they compacted some, you know, some gravel and stuff, whatever kind of things they put in there. And then they laid some pipes and some wires and things like that on that floor. And then they did that in the expectation something was going to be happening. Now, what does that have to do with love? Sometimes you say, but I can't love because I don't feel that love. I don't feel that love. Then you have to do it by faith because, you see, you act upon what God says and you act in faith. You don't act in feeling. The feeling may come later, okay, but in the meantime, it's the obedience. So they have this all set up. Now, they did that in faith, that one day, soon, that truck would come with all that concrete in it, and load after load after load, you know, and it goes in here all over the place, and then they come with the floats, and they come with the booms, and they come with all these things, and they smooth it out, and there your feet have been on that very concrete. That was done in faith. So what you do, here's the secret behind the secret, is that when it comes to love, you first build the forms. Because that's what the architect said. They have to go there, there, there. That's what God, the architect, the one who made everything, says, this is what you do. It's got to go there, there, and there. That I put that person in your life for you to love. Oh. But I don't feel the love. Don't worry. The truck is going to come in time, in due time. In the meantime, before that comes, that's the part that you do. And that we have a part to play in that too. Now, that wasn't the, you know, when you build the forms, that's not the concrete. That comes from another source. You build the forms in your life and you make that decision you are going to love. God then supplies the substance. And more, He has supplied it more than enough. May God work that in our lives so that we become the lovers that God wants us to be, because the Holy Spirit has given you already more than enough love to go around and to give away. The secret of love, that it is not how much you get, that it is what you give. The secret in every relationship, the secret in every marriage, the secret for virtually everything in life. Amen.